Okay, starting out, if you have your Bible, please turn it to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, before then, we talked about... Let me just hit some of the high points of what we talked about. We started out in Romans chapter 5. And we started to talk about how Adam was a figure of he that was to come. And we talked about how sin is a nature. And how through Adam this nature of sin came to rule. And how through Christ we are redeemed. How Adam is a backwards picture of Christ. We've seen some interesting truths in understanding the very pattern in which a man is made. First the physical part, the body, and then God breathed into him the spirit of life, the spirit, and man became a living soul. That very order is the order and the pattern of God. First the physical, then the spiritual, and then the two joined together as one. We see this in our hope. All right, then we went on about man and woman and how they pictured this relative same thing. The woman a picture of the body, man a picture of the spirit, and how together they're one. We've seen what happened in that nature of sin, how man began to serve the flesh instead of God. And this is the origin of our sin. And it put the soul out of order. Instead of the flesh being in submission to the spirit became in bondage to the flesh in this way. And we're going to detail that a little bit today. We're going to detail that a bit. That this is definitely the sinful nature of man expressed is the exaltation of the flesh over the things of the spirit. The exaltation of the things that are seen over the things that are not seen. Now, Satan always comes through the flesh. Adam's desire was to please his wife more than God. Just like our desires can be to please our own bodies more than please the things of the Spirit, more than pleasing God. And this is where that destruction... You know, God gives us over to what we've chosen to show us what a feeble thing we've trusted in. God gives us over for the humiliation of our bodies and the degrading of our bodies, which shows us this is what sin does. Once it takes us into captivity, it destroys our bodies. We see that where men were given over to sleep with men and women with women in Romans 1 for the degrading of their flesh. To show you that when you choose to please yourself, you're giving yourself in bondage to your own desires. And your desires are only boundless. I mean, your desires are only bound to certain things as long as God allows there to be a bound there. But if he removes those bounds for your desires, no telling what your affections will be set upon. And it shows the perversion of unbound desires. How many of you see that? The perversion of unbound desires. By being given over to please yourself, you're given over to fulfill as a slave your own desires. And your desires are only limited by your imagination. No telling what you'll set your affections on. And once those affections are set, you become in bondage to them. This is why we have men with men, women with women. This is why we have pedophiles. This is why we have people sleeping with animals. This is why we have these people who have all these weird kinks and quirks and hang-ups. They're given over to the degrading of their bodies. It's about showing that sin does destroy the body, doesn't it? It's a big empty hole that can never be filled, desire, without boundaries. Without boundaries. And the only one capable of setting those boundaries in righteousness is God. All right. Now, so let's go back and let's start in verse 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the midst of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die." Now, this brings up a real important point. At first, you may not see why it is important, but you will. notice that it tells us earlier about these two trees. Alright? It tells us in verse 15 of chapter 2, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. Now this is before he created Eve. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. For the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, I'll make a suitable helpful for him. Now first he tells us about the tree of good and the evil in the midst of the garden, but you must not eat of it. But notice that when he created it, before he even set men on the ground, it tells us this. Now the Lord God had planted, verse 8, a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now those two trees were there in the midst of the garden. Right? Those two trees were both there in the midst of the garden. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now God told him that he must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, when we go on here and the serpent is questioning Eve, notice something that Eve says that's really important here. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat a fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die. Notice she said, the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Notice she didn't say, there are two trees in the middle of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil we must not eat. She says, we are told that we must not eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. It's never recorded now that they ever ate of the tree of life. After they had sinned, after they had eaten of that tree, we're told this. The Lord God made garments, verse 21, of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground which he had been taken. And he drove the man out, and he placed on each side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. I want you to notice something. It is apparent here that they had never eaten of the tree of life. Because the consequence, according to God, of eating of the tree of life is to live forever. And we see that consequence is done away with Adam and Eve's sin. So they had never eaten of the tree of life. Why? Well, notice we know that God created two trees in the midst of the garden. Yet Eve only talked about the tree, not a tree. There's one tree, Satan, in the midst of the garden we shouldn't eat of. That's not what she said. We must not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Notice how she said it again. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Notice, which one did she mean? She doesn't say. She only says, we assume that she's talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But notice she doesn't identify it. Just as the tree that's in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. Well, now we know what tree she's talking about because God told Adam, You must not eat of the tree of good knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So we know which tree she's talking about. But notice how she only sees one tree there. She doesn't see two. She speaks of the tree in the midst of the garden and doesn't describe its name. She just says, we must not eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. This tells us something else. Not only do we know that Adam and Eve never ate of the tree of life, but that the only tree they saw in the midst of the garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. To Eve, it was the tree, not one of the two trees, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden. There was no reason to say, well, God did say we must not eat of one of the trees that's in the midst of the garden. She said the tree, as in the only one. And she didn't call it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She just said the tree. That's the only one they saw. Now, what was the consequence of eating of the tree? Listen to what Satan says as he twists things around. You shall surely not die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. Now, as to that point, let's talk about this for a minute. What did Adam and Eve know? Did they know good? Alone? Did they know evil alone? Or did they know about either one of them? They didn't know about either one of them. All they knew is what God told them. All they knew is what they needed to depend upon God. They didn't do any deep thinking for themselves. Didn't have to. They were dependent upon God. To them, it wasn't a question of good or evil. There was no evil. There's only to do what God says. That's all they knew. No one had ever brought the question, well, what if you think for yourself? This was the first time that question had ever been brought to him. What if you make a decision for yourself? Nobody had ever called God's word into question before. They had no concept that there was good or evil. You see, there was only what God told them to do. This is the way it is. The only one they had never listened to was each other and God. God agreed with God, and so Adam agreed with that. I mean, Adam agreed with God, so Eve agreed with Adam. Adam did what God said, and Eve did what Adam said, and that's the way it was. There was no good and evil in it, as far as their concepts. It wasn't until Satan called it into question. But wait a second. Now, I want you to see how he fueled her desires. We're going to see the truth that she never saw two trees in the garden. She saw one. It's the only one she could see, because her eyes were not opened. But listen what happens. You'll not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She gave some also to her husband who was with her. Now, Adam, we've always got this idea that Adam was in the back 40 somehow, and came home later and Eve said, hey, by the way, eat a piece of this. That's not the way it happened. He was with her. He was with her. He could have stood up, but he didn't. He didn't. His object there was to please his wife instead of God. He was already beginning to depend on the helpmeet that he saw, and not the one he didn't. I want you to see what was already going on before they ever ate of that fruit. It was already in his heart. Now we see these three things about sin: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These three components of sin. She saw that the food was good for food, the lust of the flesh, It was pleasing to the eye, the lust of the eyes, and desired for gaining wisdom, the pride of life. Now notice how all those play on her desires. Her desire for food, her desire for wisdom, and to please her eye. That's lust. Fulfilling a desire, fulfilling a lust. That's the flesh, isn't it? Satan always comes through the flesh. When we talked about man and woman before, how a man is a picture of the spirit, he's supposed to have headship. And a woman's supposed to be in submission to her husband. The body's supposed to be in submission to the spirit. Here we see Adam standing by and following Eve instead of Eve following Adam. So you can see the covenant of their marriage changed. No longer was it God, Adam, and then Eve. Now God is cut out and it's Adam following Eve. This is the nature of our corruption. It is no longer about spirit follows God and flesh follows spirit in submission to spirit. Now it's about God is cut out and spirit does what flesh wants. Spirit's desire is to please his flesh. Flesh's desire is to please itself. Ooh. Eve's desire was to please herself. To please herself with wisdom, to please herself with what appealed to her eye, and to please herself with what was desired for food. Adam's desire was to please his flesh. See, your spirit's desire isn't to please itself. This is the nature of the spirit that God has put in you. It's your spirit's desire is to please your flesh when it's supposed to be made to please God. See, your spirit is made to be a servant. It will always be a servant. But to serve the flesh is not only perversion, it's blasphemy. It is a perversion for a servant to please himself. And that's what happens when your spirit pleases the flesh in the same way Adam did to please Eve. The flesh pleases itself. It fills its own desires. This is why Satan comes through the flesh. Adam wasn't intimate with a snake. If the snake would have come to Adam, Adam would have laughed in his face and said, "Get out of here." But you see, he went through Eve. And Adam wasn't intimate with a snake, but he was intimate with his wife, his flesh. So by luring our flesh away with its desires, we are lured away to please our flesh, and therefore to please ourselves. You see how that works? Satan hasn't changed in all this time. As James tells us, a man is drugged away by his own desires to sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. This is the nature of it. Well, after they had sinned, when it says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She gave also some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now that you're self-aware, you must be self-justified. Hear me. Now that you're aware of self, you're no longer selfless. You're no longer a servant. You're aware of self. Why did they have to know? Why is it at one point they didn't know they were naked? And the next point they did. Did Satan really lie to them? You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And your eyes will be opened. What was the nature of Satan's lie? Because they did know good and evil then, didn't they? Where before they didn't. Where before all they knew is dependence upon God. His order, his way. But being introduced to call upon their own desires. To think for themselves. To do some independent thinking apart from God. Now they were drawn into this mess. And being drawn into this mess, to choose for themselves, see, man doesn't have the foresight to choose for himself, does he? Man just doesn't have that in him. He'd make a decision one day and then see the error of his decision the next. Wisdom. Now you need wisdom. If you depended on God, you'd depend on His wisdom. But man, depending on himself, needs to learn wisdom. See, self-justification. You need to cover your nakedness. Before, you weren't concerned that you were naked. No concern. You didn't know it. God was your covering. As long as you followed God, you were fine. The minute you started thinking for yourself, then you have to provide for yourself. Their eyes were opened and they began to see. They began to see about providing for themselves. They see needs that they never saw before. Why didn't they ever see needs before? Because all their needs were fulfilled in God. Now that God isn't there, the minute that God isn't there to fulfill needs, you see your own, don't you? I want you to see all the things that are going on here. As long, see, we go back to that fruit in the tree analogy. As long as Adam abode in the tree, all the information and life and provision he'd ever need flowed from that tree to the fruit. He's the fruit, God is the tree. The minute he starts to be independent of the tree, he has to come up with his own answers, doesn't he? And his own provision. When the tree flings its fruit, it begins to corrupt because it's no longer being nourished by the tree. Adam's corruption became apparent the minute he ate of that fruit. When their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. Because God was no longer their covering. All of a sudden there's a difference. You know, if all you've ever had done to you in your life is good, then there's no difference between good and evil to you. Evil just doesn't exist. And good doesn't really exist because there's nothing to compare it to. It's just the way it is. But when all of a sudden you've been dwelling in the light and in good your whole life, and then all of a sudden bad things start to happen, then you have something to compare it to, don't you? And you can call one day and one night. You can call one good and you can call one bad. Suddenly it became bad to be a naked because they were aware of nakedness. They had always been naked. But they were not ashamed. They were naked and not ashamed. God was their covering. There was no good or bad about it. It's just the way it was. It became bad the minute that they had to choose what was good and bad for themselves. The minute they were missing the good, you don't really appreciate heat till you've been out in the cold for 10 minutes. Right? You don't really appreciate a light bulb until you've sat in the darkness for 10 minutes. And so they were having this experience between the two. When the tree flings its fruit, it begins to corrupt. And any answers it gets, it has to come up with itself. Now their bright idea was to sow fig leaves, which is a picture of self-justification. This brings us to mind the fig tree that Jesus cursed concerning Israel trying to justify themselves according to law and not faith. The fig tree depended upon times and seasons, upon law. Through faith, we produce fruit in season and out of season. Can you see that with Adam and Eve? As long as they abode with God, there was no seasons. There was no change. There was no change. There was no good or bad. There was no change. Change came when? Seasons came when? After they ate of the fruit. Self-sufficiency is to grow and plant according to the seasons of when things grow. That's self-sufficiency. Dependency is depending on God to grow fruit in season and out of season. There are no seasons. Now, man's object in all of this thing is to get back to that dependency, but in a better way than ever Adam ever had it. To one, understand the teaching about righteousness, to understand the difference between good and evil, but to be able to live into that dependency that we appreciated always as good. You'll see this overall picture as we go. So the eyes of both of them were opened and realized that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" No answer. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." It's Eve's fault. We always blame sin on the flesh, don't we? Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." It's always the devil's fault next. When God doesn't go for the flesh argument, oh. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly, and you'll eat dust all the days of your life." This is where we see that the consequence for Satan was him being cast down to earth. His wings torn off. No longer. He's on the belly in the dust of this earth. He's sentenced to the atmosphere of this earth now, isn't he? "And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Well, there's enmity between man and Satan, man and snakes, physically, just like there's enmity between the children of God and the devil. "And he, the seed, will crush your head, and you'll strike his heel." Satan's head is going to be underneath Jesus' dominion. He's going to crush his head. All things is put under Jesus' feet. And therefore, man's through Jesus. We don't see everything made subject to man, as it says in Hebrews, but we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, and all things under his feet, right? So his head's going to be under Jesus' feet. You'll strike his heel. His heel is a part of him that walked upon the earth, his foot. And compared to who Jesus was spiritually, his heel was struck, his flesh. "To the woman," which is also a figure for the church, "I'll greatly increase your pains in childbearing. And with pain you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Well, that's not just about physically Eve and Adam, is it? It's about Christ and the church. And there is great pain in bringing forth children. And you can start to see all this materialize. But then he goes on to say, without getting into how everything is cursed to Adam, it tells us the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, verse 21, and clothed them. And the Lord God said to the man, "Now the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." Again, where did Satan lie in this? Where's the lie? I want you to consider something you may never have considered before. Look exactly what Satan said. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, it says that she gave some also to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So their eyes were opened. And now we hear God says, "They have become as one of us." The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has become now like one of us, knowing good and evil." That's what the Lord said. Become like one of us. Isn't that exactly what Satan told them? "No, you shall not surely die, but you'll become like God, knowing good and evil, and your eyes will be opened." Where was the lie? The lie was that you shall not surely die. That's where the lie was. That's where the lie was. You shall not surely die. Because they did die, didn't they? The Lord God said he's now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not, notice he said one of us. The Lord God said, and we have him all through Isaiah telling us, the Lord God, I'm alone and there's no one with me. I'm it. There's one true God. I'm the one true God. There's nobody beside me. And here we have the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now this confirms the verse, let us make man in our image and our likeness, that we are speaking of the triune God, aren't we? He has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which he had been taken. And he drove the man out and placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword.